Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of your one-hour inspirational program. This show is a component of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 90 minutes. We are so excited to have you here tonight. And I've got my co-host that's going to be joining me tonight. She's already tuned in to tonight's broadcast. And it's always, always, always a pleasure to have her on the air with me. We certainly look forward to all of our callers. We certainly do appreciate all of you all. It's such a joy to have you all join us each and every week as well, as well as those of you all that are listening online at home. And thank all of you all for those of you who go into the archives and check out our shows at more convenient times for you. I understand that there are a number of you all who go in and play the broadcast even while you're sitting, working, and doing other things. And I just want you to know that I do appreciate you all tuning in and listening to the broadcast. And I certainly trust and pray that you're getting something from it. These shows are coming to you live. And thank you all who are finding the opportunities to patronize and subscribe to our weekly newsletter. We're certainly grateful for that. It's always a pleasure to have you all supporting our programming and as we try to embark upon matters to be able to participate in launching programs in the community, which is what we're forthcoming and are doing. All right, so without further delay, I want to go ahead and bring in my co-host for the evening. It's such a joy to have her each and every week, and she appears on two of my shows, which is the Thursday show as well as our Friday show. And for some reason, we're starting to experience a little technical difficulty. And let me see, make certain that I can get her in. I don't know what's going on. Miss Chantrell, Lady C, are you there? Okay, for some reason we're not able to bring her in. I know she's online. I'm not sure what's going on. Let me we're at a different location bringing you the show this evening, so I'm not sure what's going on. Let me, if you're listening, if you can hear me, you all, we're going to find out studio. So stand by. I'm not sure what's going on. If you all can hear me, don't go away because we have got a great show planned for you tonight. And so don't go away. Please don't go away. Let me try and find out what's going on quickly here. I'm not sure what's going on. Let me try to find out. It may have knocked us off the internet. Don't go away. We're going to ask you to stand by. Maybe see if you can hear me. Please just stand by. For some reason, something may have happened. So please stand by. We've got a great show planned for you tonight. And I'm not sure what's going on. But I'm going in now to try and discover what's going on and see what see what happens. All right, so don't leave us. We're going to ask you to just bear with us as we go through this. It's telling me now that we are supposed to be connected again. So let's find out if we, in fact, are connected again. Okay, there we are. All right, there we are. Okay. Lady C, are you there?
I am here. Hey, everybody. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear now. Thank you, and thank God we were able to get in.
I heard you talking the whole time, so I'm going to say this. We're going to cancel. We're going to make sure that devil move out of the way, because that devil is in here trying to stop our shine, isn't he? That's the Bible said, when two or three are gathered, God is right here with us. So we better knock him out of the way, okay? Because we're about to have a wonderful show.
Totally, totally, and I certainly look forward to it. And thank you all for staying in there, hanging in there with us as we're looking to bring the show. I mean, it just completely knocked us off the internet, completely knocked us off. And I had to go in and thank God and bring, you know, reset, and we're in a different location. So, you know, it's a matter of getting the internet. I mean, God is really good. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your blessings, and we pray that you would be in our program tonight, and we thank you for that. So help us have a great program, and thank you for not letting the devil interfere with this programming tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right. So, ladies here, are you ready? You're all fired up for tonight's program?
I am all fired up. I hope everybody else is fired up, everybody on the radio. I hope you guys are all fired up and ready to go, because I am.
All right. I'm so happy to hear that as the people are tuning in now and coming forward. Let me just start out by saying tonight's topic is a very deep topic. It's a very serious question that we're asking, and I'm serious when I say this part. If you were going to miss a show, it was probably last night that you should have missed that show. But tonight is a show that you definitely do not want to miss, because we're asking the question, has God given us the ability to do things for ourselves? Has God given us the ability to do things he has given us the ability to do for ourselves? That's the question. That's the question. And let's go ahead and bring in my other co-host, Benny, Sir Benny, tonight. Let's bring him in. And, Sir Benny, it's a pleasure also to have you on the show as well. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening and welcome, everybody. Happy Sabbath.
All right. All right. Great. Now, so, you know, we're going to start out. Lady C, and I want to start out with you. I mean, and, you know, we're just asking questions here, and tonight's discussion is basically, you know, for educational and informational purposes. That's what these shows are all about. It's not to present any legal advice, medical, psychology advice. It's not to even sway people to think one way or the other about any denomination, any spiritualities. It's just basically having a discussion where we're rendering our opinions. We don't necessarily endorse any opinions. All of my callers, all of my co-hosts, myself included, we're basically rendering an opinion. And it's up to each person who listens on this show to do their own due diligence to find out what works best for them. Lady C, having said that, let me start out by asking you, you know, that's that question. And then, Sir Benny, I'm going to come to you as well. Do you think that we depend on God? Do we depend on God? You know, there's a whole question to this. Do we depend on God for the things that he has given us the ability to do for ourselves?
Yes. Yes, we depend on God. You know, God gives us a choice, and God gives, you know, yeah, we depend on God for everything, but we're supposed to. But then, you know, think about it. Say if there's something we want in life, like for an example, I'm trying to buy a house. If I just depend on God to just, you know, do everything for me, then I may not even find a house due to the fact of when God gave me the vision, he wanted me to act on that vision. And if I'm not acting on the vision, then I'm not going to get nowhere. So, yes, we depend on God on things that we should also be doing ourselves.
Okay. So, Sir Benny, let me bring you in. And, Sir Benny, this scenario right here, let's say I'm this guy who I just totally trust God with everything, And it's like I'm very capable, the mindset, mental, physical conditioning. I'm my late 20s. Okay, I didn't go to college. All right, so big deal. I, in fact, dropped out of high school. All right, got three different baby mamas out there. Okay, you know. So, but now I'm trying to kind of get it together, and I've gotten married, and my wife's bugging me about getting a job. And I say, you know what? And I'm a strong believer in religion. And I say, you know what? I have such faith in God that if God wants me to get a job, he will send somebody to my door. That's the kind of faith I got. And ring my doorbell and say, listen, we got a job for you. Or he will call my cell phone. Somebody will call my cell phone because God can do everything. So I'm telling my wife, stop bugging me because I ain't going out there looking for no job. Now leave me alone. Like Chris Tucker would say, leave me alone. So, Sir Benny, let me ask you. I mean, am I dependent on God when he has given me the ability to do for myself?
Absolutely. Well, as Lady C said earlier, we should have a dependency on God, but not just be totally dependent on God. So that's a little bit of a difference. And, you know, the word tells us if a man doesn't work, nor shall he eat. So we have to understand there's responsibilities that we have too. God gave us a mind and abilities and the ability to work. And it says you shall work by the sweat of your brow. So you got to do something, you know, whatever it may be. You still got to do something to provide for your family, for you. And you just can't wait for God to come and drop something in your lap, because if that's the case, then none of us have really worked for anything. We'll just let God just come and drop stuff in our lap. But he wants us to be productive. His absolute words are occupy. Occupy until I come.
Uh-huh. So, Sir Benny, I mean, it's like, I take the attitude as that same 27-year-old and say, well, look, the dogs don't have to go looking for no job. The birds don't have to go looking for no job. All they do is eat, and then they multiply, okay? So why should I have to go out there? God is the creator. None of us asked to come here. So he says he's really mad at his wife, and I'm saying, leave me alone, okay? God wants me to work. You go out there and work. And if you got to work two jobs, work two jobs. But I'm going to wait on God because that's my faith. So, Sir Benny, I hear that sermon today that the pastor says, you know, if you just depend on God, no matter what your circumstances are, God will see you through. And I take that to heart. And I say, I'm going to depend on what that pastor said today. So, Sir Benny, God can do anything, right? And everything he wants, right?
Correct. But we have to understand. See, there's dealings with God. There's the study of God. There's the study of who God is and the study of how God operates. So a lot of people have the study all wrong. And so they think, I can just depend on God for it. No. God gives you good common sense, and he gives you ability, and he wants you to use those abilities. He gave Noah an assignment. He said, no, I need you to build an ark. Build an ark. It took him 120-something years to build the ark, but he worked on it diligently. And there was a reason why he gave us a good mind to be able to work. He said, you have to work.
So Sir Benny, after all. Wait a minute. God forgive me. I don't mean no harm when I present this part. God, please forgive me. I don't mean any harm now. I'm just asking a question. So, Sir Benny, 120 years to build the ark, only 8 people were saved, and then you had all these animals in there. And so then, after that, Noah became a drunkard. And I had this conversation with someone today, and it was like, you know, so Was he tired? And if I were asking Noah, Noah, why you get drunk after that? And Noah says, you carry a bunch of animals around for a long period of time. God, I don't mean no harm. God, please don't strike me. I'm just saying here. So, Benny, what do you say about that?
Well, even in the process, once he built the ark and put all the animals in the ark, the work still went on. You got to make sure you clean them. You got to make sure they're fed. There was a lot of work even in that process. And so, you know.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by, sir.
God understands us. He doesn't look at us just because we have our little vices. He is far more greater than he looks beyond our little vices. God does have a sense of humor too, you know.
I believe that. You know, when you ask a woman, how do you know God has a sense of humor? They say to us, he made man. You know, I mean, it's like they're always coming at us, right?
Yeah.
So, Sir Benny, stand by just for a second. We're going to go to the phone lines in a moment, 321. But before I do that, I want to go to Lady C. So, Lady C, let me bring you back in here. And the question becomes, okay, as that 27-year-old, I'm not going to look for a job. I'm telling my wife, leave me alone, girl, okay? You go work two jobs. You go work, in fact, three jobs. But I'm going to have faith like the preacher said today. And then, Lady C, he says... So he says, why don't you pray that God send somebody to the door to ring the doorbell to get me a job? Lady C, what do you say if you were married to me and I'm that 27-year-old?
Faith without works is dead. That's like what I'm saying.
Yes.
Faith without works is dead.
Okay.
You can have all the faith you want, but if you ain't going to work towards it, it's going to be dead.
So I say, I am working towards it. I'm going to make sure that I go to the gym and work out. I'm going to go and eat my breakfast. I'm going to go take my walk. So now leave me alone. What else I got to do? That's working,
just like,
isn't it?
Just like Benny said, if a man don't work, a man don't eat. So he better get out of the gym.
If you're the wife, aren't you
going to
take care of him?
Yeah, if he was hurt. Now, let me tell you, that's the difference.
He's not hurt.
I know.
Don't
want to
go look for a job. Huh?
He's just lazy. See, that's the difference.
Yeah.
You know, us women, we are natural born nurturers. We will take care of our guys. We will nurture them. But if he's lazy, that's a whole nother ballgame. He's just lazy. I'm going to have to push him and tell him, get up, get a job.
You should have known
day.
He was lazy when you married him.
You know, those red flags are so speak for themselves.
But
you right?
married the man because he was good looking, he was smooth. Sir Benny, isn't that the chances they married a man because he's good looking and smooth, right? And now you got him, he don't want to go to work. And now you're bugging him. Sir Benny, what do you say to that? Because he's dependent on God. He's dependent on God.
Well, looked like somebody got tricked.
Well, it's not like she tricked herself.
And it wasn't God.
It wasn't God. Okay, so Sir Benny, if she got tricked, now to death do you part, isn't she supposed to step up and keep working? As long, and if he don't want to work, he don't have to work. Sir Benny, what do you say?
Well, you know, God does give us our own ability to make our own decisions. The choice is already made, but he gives us the ability to make our own decisions. And sometimes our decisions don't line up with the choices that we have in front of us. So, you know, there's an old cliche that says, it's not a cliche, it's actually in the Bible, you reap what you sow. So if you decide that you're going to sow into a joker that's lazy, guess what you're going to get back? A lazy joker.
Right? I know that's right.
Okay. We're going to ask you all to stand by. Let's go to the phone lines because tonight's topic is, you know, do we depend on God for things he has given us the ability to do for ourselves? Mm-hmm. Now, you know, with that scenario, the man he heard the sermon that God will see you through no matter what your circumstances, no matter what your situation is. That guy took to heart every word that preacher said. And then he goes home and his wife is nagging him. And he's asking her, what are you going to cook for dinner? That's what you need to be worried about. And then you know, because she loves him. Lady C, don't you just cook the dinner? At what point do you stop talking and leaving him alone? And just love him as he is, for better or for worse.
That's a hard question, you know, for me, because I'm not going to lie to you. I can't. It's hard for me to date somebody who's lazy, okay? I am into the career-oriented guys.
But
and
you're
the
married to
guys.
The man now, Lady C. This ain't no this just dating stuff. Now you're married to the man, for better or for worse.
You're right. It is for better or for worse. And that is truly for the worst. I don't know. I mean, would it be even, hey, if I separate from him, I mean, we still married, that's still part of the worst. I mean, he could be in his own place, homeless shelter, wherever he at. I'm still on my own doing good, but we're still married.
And listen, you've been more married than 10 years, and you're making more money. Now I want my alimony, okay, to pay my bills.
Mm-hmm.
Help us. We're going to ask you to stand by, Lady C.
Get the alimony if you don't got it.
we're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go to 321-439. Welcome to your one-hour inspiration program. Who do we have on the air? And welcome. Thank you for joining us. 321-439? Or perhaps they're just listening in. Let's go to 407-862. If you want to speak to the issue tonight, do we depend on God for what he has given us the ability, for things he has given us the ability to do for ourselves? Press 1 on your dial. Let's go to 407-862. Thank you for joining us. Who do we have with us?
This is Sister Marva. Good evening, everyone.
Sister Marva, thank
Good
you
evening,
for joining
Dr.
us.
Walker.
Sister Marva.
Yes.
Is it my fault if I'm 27 and I don't want to work and my wife is nagging me?
Is it your fault if you're 27?
Yeah, and tonight's topic, Sister Marva, as you're following us, tonight's topic is, do we depend on God for things he has given us the ability to do for ourselves? If I'm 27, I'm capable of working, I'm in the right mindset, but I heard the sermon from the preacher saying, God can do all things. He can, no matter what your situation or circumstance, God can do all things. So I'm there resolving to believe that if God wants me to work, he will send somebody to ring my doorbell and say, we have a job for you. He will have somebody call my phone. My wife could be praying. Lady, see, if she's my wife, she could be praying, God, please send somebody to ring that doorbell. She could be sending out my resume somewhere. She could do all of that for me. Sister Marva, is that wrong? She's my helpmeet.
I can't really speak to that because I was married to both career men. I was married twice, both to career men. So,
right.
But I have a sister whose son he's almost 40. He's 40 something. Still lives at home.
Okay.
He just won't work.
He won't work. See,
won't work.
Is he married? Is he married?
No. No, he's not married, but there's a thing called an emotional husband. I think the mother calls her son, treats him as if he's the man of the house. And
okay.
So he mooches off of her, He doesn't work. And no matter what you say, he's not going to work.
Okay. So maybe he has a dependent, but he's still eating, he's still breathing, and he probably sits there and watches I Love Lucy or whatever shows he wants to watch. And he's still,
yes, he
you
does.
Know.
Yes.
You understand? So, Lady C, Sister Marva, we're going to ask you to hold on for a second. Lady C, I go back to you. For better or for worse, why do, you know, your husband says to you, the birds don't have to go out there and work for nothing. All they do is hang on poles and trees and light, I mean, these electrical lines. And when they see some food on there, they just go get the food. I mean, why can't it just come to me, Lady C? The woman is to help me. Why can't she just go out there and do all the helping? and meet me at home.
You know, she is healthy. I mean, if I'm creating all the if I'm doing your resume, I'm doing, you know, finding a job for you. But I can't push. Like they say, you can't push the child out. You can't push the bird out next. You know, so I can't push you to get a job. You know, you gotta want that. I mean, in order to get something, you gotta want it. If he don't want it, then he don't want me. Cause listen, it's a happy wife. A happy wife is a happy life. So he can get his behind out there and work.
So no, but see, that's the way you want it to be. But the fact is, you took those vows for better or for worse. If he, the 40-year-old that Sister Marva talked about, 40-something-year-old, he's not trying to work. And he said, for better or for worse, you got me now. This is your responsibility. I'm dependent on God. And if God doesn't, and I've heard people say this here, if God doesn't do this for me, I'm not doing it. If God doesn't send me that man to marry, I'm not getting married. If God doesn't send me that woman to marry, I'm not getting married. Sir Benny, have you not heard that before?
Many times. Many, many times. Many, many times. I've heard women say, oh, I'm waiting on a man that God is going to send me. And God is sending all kinds of men. Oh, he's too short.
Absolutely.
He's not. He's this. He doesn't have this job. He don't have that. He don't have that. I've heard every excuse in the book. I'm looking at him going, yeah. So every time God sends somebody, you reject him. So, and then you get to a point and say, man, I don't understand why God hadn't sent me somebody. Well, he'd have been sending people all the time, but you keep rejecting them. So what do you want God to do?
Right, exactly.
That's
what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. So, listen, maybe some people we get it, we overdo it. If we're just, lady, see here, she don't want to work the three jobs. And she don't want to. She keep wanting to bother the man. And she say you can't push him out the nest, but that's not true, because the eagles, the birds, they push their eaglets out of the nest to teach them how to fly. But this is a grown man.
You got to push the birds out the nest. That's what I said. You got to push them out the nest. But my husband's kind of hard to push my husband out the nest.
That is very hard to do.
Because if I push my husband out the nest, then I'm really going to be paying alimony. Because if he ain't trying to work, then he coming back for money from me. So, yeah, you have to think about that thing sometimes.
Okay. So, now, Sister Marva, let me come back to you. And I got to ask you this question. I mean, does God want this 27-year-old to go out there and work, or does he want him to solely and totally depend on him, like the preacher said, no matter what your situation, no matter what your circumstance, you know, God will see you through?
No. If this person is a God-fearing person, he will already know that his role is the provider in the home. Now, if you have a husband and a wife, and I know a couple that have been married now almost 30 years, and the wife has always worked, but the husband works at home. He took care of the kids. He cooked the dinner. He washed the clothes.
So they
reversed roles until this day. They reversed roles, and it worked out beautifully for them. And I also want to add that if the answer to that question was yes, God will give us what we, then he wouldn't send Jesus to die such a cruel death on the cross, because we could do something. He would do something for us, but we have to do one thing. We have to accept the gift. At least reach your hand out and accept the gift, you know? You have to do something.
Yes, two things, Sister Marva. I'm not sure if I understand your analogy that if God expect us to do certain things, Jesus wouldn't have had to die such a cruel death on the cross. I'm not sure how that ties into us depending on God for the things he's given us the ability to do for ourselves. And then the other thing is kind of like, you know, should we not have a dependency on God? And because I've heard stories where people have gotten somebody to come to their house selling something, and then the person was impressed enough that they did get a job and God sent to them, or a phone call did come across, there was an error, but they ended up getting a job that way as well. So is it wrong for that 27-year-old, Sir Ben, Sister Marv, we're going to ask you to stand by because I want you to answer that first question. Sir Ben, is it wrong for that 27-year-old man to be lazy, as the wife, Lady C, would think, but his faith has made him whole and a phone does ring? So what about that?
So God blesses us even in our stupidity. You know, he still blesses us.
Right? So, exactly.
So, you know, that's just the way God is. He loves us so much that he still wants to take care of us. Important message that we got to try to see it. When we're going through stuff like this gentleman, this 27-year-old, God will reveal our defects to us and wait for us to correct our defects. He revealed it to him. If you look at your wife and you know your wife is struggling and you're not working and you don't see something wrong with that, then your mind has gone to a reprobate mind because you don't see the anguish that she's suffering. And if you're a religious person and you say, well, I know that God said a man's got to work, and you choose not to, not only are you in disobedience, but you are also sacrificing the gifting that God has given to you. And so by doing that, you're going to sacrifice your blessings. And that's what happens to most people, is that their disobedience to what they know, they put on the wayside. And then now they're not getting blessed properly because, you know, because you're not being obedient to what God has already given you to do. There's no understanding the CEO woman working 2 and 3 jobs and you home every day. There's no logical reason for a man to be able to be okay. If he wakes up in the mirror and looks at himself and he's watching his wife get dressed, she's tired, she's dragging, and she's going to work, and he doesn't see anything wrong with that, then the problem is not so much that what she's doing. The problem is he doesn't want to do anything at all.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. And we get that part, Sir Benny. And the thing is, it's like, and we got a show coming up, an upcoming show. And it's like, can what we don't know, even with what God wants us to know, can it hurt us? Can our ignorance hurt us when it comes to God? Because, I mean, the Bible says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know, we begin to wonder, where do we get the knowledge from? What are you talking about, God? The knowledge of what? So we're going to be having an upcoming show. You all don't want to miss that show. You don't want to miss that show. But in reference to the man getting up after his wife gets on what he would term as nagging him so much, now he says to her, Lady C, and Lady C, we're just, this is a hypo. It's not you, the real Lady C here. But he says, listen, he says, I'm going to look for 5 jobs today. I'm going out today. All right? So he, you know, before she even leaves the house to go to work, he starts to shower, shave, and he puts on a shirt, right? And then the minute she leaves, he takes off of that shirt and he heads for the bed and the frosted flakes. So he's got her thinking, and by the time she comes home, he done put on these clothes. And as if because he knows her schedule, her routine. She comes on, and he says, you know, and Sir Benny, he acts like he's tired, okay? And so he acts like he's tired, so she can think he's been at her, and she's like, and the first thing she's going to say, oh, baby, I'm so proud of you. You been at, Lady C, am I right? I'm so proud you've been looking for me. He's like, yeah, but I didn't have no kind of luck today, okay? I ain't have no kind of luck. I just, you know, now she's really dog tired, and he ain't thinking about her. He's waiting for her to go to work the second job if he can. So, Lady C, what do you say to that? What do you say to that, Lady C? You don't know he hasn't been out there. You ain't checking the car to see if he done wasted some gas.
I agree. I'll be too tired to be trying to check for high fever anyway. But I will be congratulating him all the time. I mean, I literally will be saying, good job. You know, I'm so proud of you. I will be giving him words of affirmation all day long as long as
I know.
I'm trying.
I know. I know. So, Sister Marva, let me bring you back in. Sister Marva, why can't we just fully depend on God for even the things that he's given us the ability to do for ourselves? Because somebody can show up at that door for a job for us. And I heard what Sir Benny said. Can that man look in the mirror? Yes, a lot of men do look in the mirror and like, hey, I need a haircut. I can't wait till that girl, she need to leave me some money here so I can get this haircut. Sister Marva, why can't we do that?
I would say that the gentleman who is doing that, he's not a God-fearing man because he would already know what to do, what his role is. Now, he's not a child. He's a man. And
right.
his conscience would tell him that. And if I was his wife and he came home and acted like he was tired, I would ask him, honey, where did you go today?
Okay. Oh, I can listen. I can make up 30 things of where I went today. 30 things. Sir Benny, can you make up at least 30 or 40 things where you went today? 100.
So he would be lying.
Exactly. We can make up 100 things of where we went today. And let me just name five of them. I went to AT&T. I went to Metro PCS. I went to Sprint. I went to Verizon. Somebody give me another one out there. Okay, I went to, another one. Okay,
I went to the grocery store. I went to the post office.
I went to the grocery store, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Sabini. Name five, right quick.
Oh, okay. So I went to the grocery store. I went to the post office. I went to the gas station. I went to see my sister. I went to look at a job. I went to look at another job. I went to interview with somebody else. I went to go put in an application somewhere else. I got 1,000 things I can tell you what I did.
That's what I'm trying to tell you now. We can come up with all – you're asking us – Sister Marva, you're asking us where we – all we got to do is think about even some of the commercials that came on TV that we saw. AT&T, Verizon, all of them commercials come on television. You know, the pharmacy store is right on the corner. So why can't we just sit there and depend on God and knowing that the lights are about to be turned off and the woman, the wife says – honey, did you see we got a final notice again? Well, baby, just have faith. God is going to – our preacher said no matter what your situation is. So, lady, see, is the preacher wrong?
I feel like some people – they got false prophets out there. I'm going to say that, some of them. Sometimes a preacher could be speaking in someone's future, you know, and not allowing God to speak through them. They're just throwing stuff out there. So it's good for a preacher to say, you know what? You know, God to make a way. Trust God. Yes, that's building, you know, confidence in that man. But it's good for a preacher to be straight up with him and say, listen, you need to work. You're a man. You need to provide. It's a man's job to provide. You know?
Right.
So.
Right.
So the preacher is wrong, but yet right. So.
All right, we're gonna ask you to stand by. Let me go now to 321. It's the caller there. 321-439. All right, perhaps not. 321-439. They press 1. All right, then let me go now, Sister Marva. Sister Marva. So,
yes, sir.
What should we depend on God for if we can't? I mean, I'm thinking, I've heard messages forever saying we need to put our total faith and trust in God. Total faith and trust in God.
Yes.
So when it comes to everything.
Not
to do what? Now we're going
to
set conditions. See how we start to set conditions to what we believe the word was? All of us do that. So go ahead, Sister Marva. What are you going to say?
Not for things that we need to do for ourselves. Example, Isaac, son of Abraham, of course, when he went down to, let's say, Horeb, I have no, I don't remember, but there was a famine, and he didn't have food to feed his family or the animals, etc. And I'm sure he was talking to God about it, saying, you know, like, why did you send this place where? But God told him, stay there. Don't move to another city. Stay there. And I will bless you. And what did he stayed there. But he also started to dig wells. So God didn't tell him to dig a well. He could have been waiting for rain. But he didn't.
Okay. All right. So, Sister Marvin, let me go back for a second and ask you the question. You say that if we didn't do some things, Jesus would not have had to die a cruel death on the cross. I'm trying to figure out that analogy. How does it relate to do we depend on God for things he's given us the ability to do for ourselves?
If we could save ourselves, he would not send Jesus to die for us. We cannot do anything to save ourselves. So he sends help. But if we could do one thing, just one thing, to save ourselves, he would not have to send Jesus to do it for us.
Okay, so that was our topic.
And I said the one thing. Go ahead. The one thing that we have to do is we have to say, yes, I believe and I confess that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. He died, et cetera. That's the only thing that I know that we need to do to be saved, because that's what the Bible says. You don't have to do anything else.
Okay, that is interesting that you raise that, because we got some upcoming shows on that. Is do you have to go to church? Do you have to pay a 10% tithe? Do you have to, can you break the Ten Commandments and still be saved? Because Jesus died on the cross. So, I mean, those are some upcoming shows that we're having. Because if I confess the Lord and Jesus Christ as my Savior, according to John 3:16, then I'm saved.
Yes.
All I got to do is believe. Is that what you're telling me, Sister Marvin?
Yes,
wow. We're going to ask you to stand by. I want to hear from you all tonight out there. Do we depend on God? I want to hear what your thoughts are. You got to press 1 on your dial, though. Do we depend on God for the things he has given us the ability to do for ourselves? And don't be shy, you all. Not all of us have the answers. I'm not saying that I have the answers. We want to know what your thoughts are. We got people listening, and somebody out there listening may need something, because they may be that 27-year-old man who's sitting at home not working. And his wife's getting on his nerves. And he's saying, you know what, that's why I got me a girlfriend on the side when she goes to work, because she keeps getting on my nerves. Even my girlfriend don't get on my nerves. So I get enough time to spend with her. Lady C, did you ever think about that? But hold on, before you answer that, let's go to the phone line. Let's just go to the phone line. 754-217. Good evening and welcome to your 1 hour inspirational program. And who do we have with us?
Good night, Dr. Walker. This is Althea. Good night, audience. How are you?
Thank you for joining us, Althea. I mean, I'm looking for an answer here.
I don't know if I have an answer. I don't know if I have an answer, but I could tell you this. If my husband did not work and I was working two or three jobs.
Amen, yes.
And he was staying home. And worse, pretending to be looking for jobs on top of that.
But you don't know if he's pretending. You don't know if he's pretending.
Well, I would find out, trust me. But anyway, it would bring a lot of stress in the family. Mm-hmm. It will bring a lot of anger and resentment, because this is not what we had agreed upon at the very beginning, even when we were taking our vows. So if he's not doing what he's supposed to do in order to maintain the family, to work along with me, then it would be a problem. We would have to find counseling, or something would have to happen, or he needs to go home to his mama. Something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
because that's not how this is supposed to work. I would not have married a child. I married a man with the realization that being that this is a man, he's going to work alongside me, okay, and help us to build our family. So if he's going to stay home, that's going to be a big problem, Dr. Walker.
Yes, I understand. But if he's telling you, and then this is where trust comes in, that you believe your husband, and he looks like he's tired, but he really just ran in and took a shower real quick because he played basketball with the boys, you know, and he ran in, he put on some clothes. You know, I mean, I was a little kid that really got into a lot of stuff, and by the time I came home, I mean, I knew my mom was coming home. We all know what to do. We know what to do. And then you open up them books, and your mom thinks you've been studying all the time. Oh, you're such a good boy. Yeah, Mom, I'm trying my best. I just came from outside when I wasn't supposed to even be outside. Come on, Althea. How you going to find out?
I will, because there will be a checklist. You would have to show me what jobs you looked at. Then I'm going to also check your phone, see who you called. You're going to show me. Because we have it like
Sabrina,
that.
Are you listening to
where we can listen. Especially if after a long time this man is not working, you're going to think that something is wrong with this. You know, we're not fools. We will figure that something is wrong with this picture. So, okay, hon, so where did you go today? Oh, really? Okay, so what's the phone number? Maybe I could follow up for you. Maybe I want to help you out. You know, let's see what's going on here. Because why is it taking so long for them to respond? Come on.
So, Althea, is it possible you're only saying that now because we gave you insight into this? Isn't that possible? Because Lady C didn't even say that. Because you know what? You're only saying this now because we gave you insight into what could possibly be going on. Isn't that possible, Althea, that that's why you're saying this now? Because otherwise,
no,
wouldn't you just fully trust him, telling you he's trusting God?
No. I'm talking from experience, sir.
Oh, okay. Well, tell us about your experience.
Well, at one point when I got married, my husband did not want to work.
Okay.
And I, you know, he took a long time in order to realize that we had a family, and he needed to produce. So I did just what I was telling you. I would go to the newspaper. He would show me where he circled off, where he went, or where he called. And because I was on his tail a lot, you know, I got miserable. You know, he thought I was just miserable. He couldn't take it no more.
Right.
So he had to find a job.
He had to find a job. How long after did this last? How long did it take for him to really find a job after you getting on his tail?
About 3 months.
But did he ever tell you he's waiting on God? Have you ever heard anyone say that?
Yes, he did.
He did.
But he was praying. Yes, he was praying that he would find a job. But he was not looking for one.
But why would you interfere with his relationship with God? He was dependent fully on God. Go ahead.
Dr. Walker, the Lord will help you when he will open doors for you when you're trying to do something. If you sit down and do nothing, he cannot open the doors for you.
But I have had stories where somebody came to that door when that person didn't even want to go looking for a job, and just so happened that a job came to them. I've heard stories where somebody got a phone call and the job came to you. So does God deal with us by our measure of faith, Althea?
I don't know how to answer that. But I do know is that once he looked for a job, actively looked for one, the Lord blessed him and gave him a job.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you all to stand by. Tonight's topic is, do we depend on God for the things he's given us the ability to do for ourselves? Press 1 if you want to talk about it. Sir Benny, go ahead.
You know, I have a question to that. When we say we trust God, and like the last caller said, her husband was trusting and believing God. God
yes.
doesn't answer prayers in our time because we see the need. He answers it in the right time. And so a lot of times when I hear people talk about things, and this is no condemnation on nobody.
Right.
If we are married and we're in a covenant relationship together, if you see there's a defect, shouldn't both parties be going together in prayer asking God to provide a way? Because, see, it always seems to go wrong. You know, when God told Abraham he was going to have a son, and his wife was like, oh, you know, I'm too old for that. Abraham, go and be my maid servant in, because, you know, she's younger and she can have a kid. Because
right,
she didn't fully trust Hagar, sorry. She didn't fully trust the fact that God could do what he said he could do.
Exactly.
So if she had just stayed in the presence of, okay, my husband just told me that God said I'm going to have a baby. I know because of my age, I'm almost 100. It's not likely. But I trust that my husband's relationship with God is so solidified that I'm going to pray with my husband about this situation and prepare myself to be able to have this baby. But we don't do that. We circumvent God as though, like, we know better because, oh, I can't do
exactly.
it. And so why do we do that when we say we trust God, but then we try to intercede on God's behalf? God don't need our help. If God tells you something, then you have to believe what he's going to tell you. So if I'm in a situation where I'm not working and you see me praying and asking God to show me and direct my path, why is it okay for you to not come into agreement with me on what I'm doing as opposed to come into agreement with yourself and say, well, you're a man, you better go work, you better go get this job? I'm not saying that's not true, but
right.
I'm saying there's a defect somewhere in our covenant, because it said we should become as one, so we should operate as one. And so a lot of times we as Christians, we don't operate as one, so we don't look right. So God may sometimes God let things happen to show us our defects. It's not to make the other person miserable or mad, but it shows us our defects. What is it in you, that in your character, that's not correct, that needs to be correct on my behalf with your husband and my husband or in our covenant? There's got to
right.
be a connection.
That,
and we don't always, as Christians, we don't present that properly. But we say
right.
we trust God for everything, but yet we circumvent him for a lot of things.
And that even has to do with our decisions in terms of who we date, who we marry, because it's there. Sometimes there's that part that we miss that's intrinsically within us, ourselves, that has nothing to do with that God allowed this. It's your free will. It's your decision. Because think about this. People pray and say, Lord, send me a sign that this is the man. But you don't even see a sign, and you thought you may have seen a sign, and you marry anyway. But then the sign that you thought God was going to give you was not the sign that God gave you. It was your free will to do what you want to do. But yet you feel you got to stay there forever when it's not working out. Lady C, let me bring you in. Based on your free choice, your free will, does that free will give you the right to just say, well, this guy is not going to look for a job? I took those vows for better or for worse, but I decide I can't take it no more after 3 months, after 6 months. He's not working. You done told all of your friends, his family, and you're like, you know, but yet when he wants you in that bedroom, you're not inclined to want to be his wife. So, Lady C, why not?
Well, it leads back to an unhappy wife, unhappy life. If I'm not happy with you, I'm disconnected from you.
But
so
is it all about you? Is it all about that wife?
No, it's about being stressed out. It's about, you know, needing something in life, and you can't give me what I need when you are capable of giving me what I need. Because it's not because you can't do it. It's because you refuse. Anger builds up inside of me, and it's like a big turnoff. I cannot perform. I can't do anything because why?
Right.
You're in the back of my head playing. You're replaying
okay,
in the back of my head.
Okay, but why can't you depend on God for certain needs instead of looking to that husband for those needs? Lady C, stand by. We're going to ask you to answer that in a minute. Let me go to Althea. Althea, same question for you. Why not depend on God, just like I'm depending on him for the job? Why can't you just depend on God for those other needs, that he will send the job? Pray. You pray that prayer. If you want me to go
well,
get a job sooner than later, you pray that prayer.
We did pray together. We did
right?
do that together. But he
right?
was more focused on just he did not want to work. He did not. So, therefore, after a while, I got frustrated with that. So I had to push and say, okay, I know that you're praying. I know that we're both praying. However, you need to go out there and get it, baby. You need to go and get it. Once you get out there, the Lord will provide for you. And that's how I got him to go.
Okay, but were you inclined when you were feeling those times of frustration and stress, were you inclined to mm-hmm. still act like a wife even when he wanted you in the bedroom?
That was very hard. That was difficult at times.
Mm.
Yes.
So, but what about the for better of the worst part? You know, can't you, aren't you just supposed to be there no matter what, like the preacher said? For better or for worse?
I think like most women, we do try to put our best foot forward, but we're humans. And if you're upset, it's hard. It's hard sometimes to just give yourself. It is hard
mm-hmm.
if you're upset.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Sister Margaret, we're going to actually stand by out here, all of you
should,
all. Sister Margaret, let's bring you back in.
We should never
and
use our
we're going to bring you in just a second. So, Sister Marva, and the question becomes, I mean, do we really know, do we really have an answer for this question tonight? And that question is, again, do we depend on God to do things for us that he has given us the ability to do for ourselves? Do we really know? Do we really, really, really know the answer to this question? Sister Marva, what do you think?
I do truly believe that God will not do for you what you can do for yourself. He has given you the ability to do. If I was impressed in church to, and that's a long story, to apply for nursing school, and I did, and I got a response back that I would fill the application out, and I sent it back, and I was accepted. Went through the entire program, no problem. And every door of nursing was open to me. Every door. Never been shut. If I'm not working, it's because I don't want to work. It's not because there isn't a job for me. So if I, say, change a city, a door will be open for me. And I'm telling you, just like a phone call will come or somebody will say something, you know, like that. So I have to do my part as the Bible says the farmer, he will sow the seed, but it's God who grows it. You know, if you don't
right.
put the seed in the ground, how is it going to grow? You can leave it on the table and it will be there for a million years. It will never become a
mm-hmm.
tree.
Mm-hmm.
So we're
having to do what we need to do, what God. Now, in Sarah and Abraham's case, you can understand because they were past the age. And they were probably thinking, oh, well, you know, so and so. But indeed, they should have been praying and waiting and praying and waiting, you know. And indeed, they did the wrong thing.
And it came back to haunt
Sarah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I'm not sure. And I think you started out by saying you're not sure. And because, you know what, I want to present a scripture to you all, Matthew 6:26. And this is from the King James Version Bible, the scripture. Behold the fowls of the air. And this is what it says. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat. Look at the birds of the air. Mm-hmm. That they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. Yet he feeds them. And then he goes on to say, you know, he goes on to say, the Bible goes on to say, watch this now, our Heavenly Father takes care of everything, even the sparrows in the dead of winter. He loves us. His love for us is more valuable and will provide all our needs. Praise God. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Matthew 10:31. So, Sir Ben, let me bring you in. You have a thought. Go ahead and present your thought, and then tell me what you think of that scripture, those two scriptures. All right, well, when Sir Ben comes back, let me go, Lady C. It says God will take supply all our needs. That's what this Bible tells us, that God will supply all, not some, but all of our needs. So as we mentioned earlier, why can't he exercise his faith by not going out there to work? Is he not dependent on God by the measure of his faith? Even though
okay.
we, from another perspective, say, listen, we look at it from maybe the human element and say, he's not going to work out there. What's wrong with him? I'm going to be upset with him. He's saying he's exercising his faith by God. And, yeah, he may be showing some signs of deceit. Very possible. But for better or for worse kicks in. So, Lady C, do you have an answer for tonight's question? Possibly.
I was just saying. I can't say I really have an answer, but I do say this here. You know, it does say in Philippians that God will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. God
exactly.
didn't go into detail. He didn't go into detail as far as, you know, he'll supply all our needs and his riches and glory, meaning I'm going to get you a job. I'm going to get you money. I'm going to give you money. He didn't go into detail. He said it. According to his riches and glory. But again, what I said earlier was, Sir Ben said this, a man don't work, a man don't eat. And I said, without faith, faith is dead. Yes.
Right.
That's what I said. So I'm going to stick to what I said. I'm just sticking with what I said. I don't got nothing else to say right now.
Okay, that's all well and good. Althea, let me bring you back in. And I got to ask this question. I mean, basically, when it comes to tonight's topic, or when it even comes to any matters of the heart, spiritually or religiously, when it comes to God and the issues of God or the questions or concerns about God, is it possible that all of us as humans can justify anything that we conveniently find to do so? I know that's worded, but think about it, right?
Yes, you can find ways of opting out. You justify your behavior for anything.
I mean, Lady C just read a scripture. She just read the scripture, and then she put in there, and she emphasized, according to, he didn't specify, according to his riches and glory. She put it back to God and indicating, and I understand where she's coming from, and saying God didn't specify. You understand? So we can take almost any scripture and begin to justify it at our convenience as humans. But look what he said in Matthew 6:26, that he cares about us more than the sparrow. And they don't do any of this stuff. And yet he provides all of their needs. So what are we supposed to do, Althea? What are we supposed to do?
We can keep on praying. We can pray, but we should also pray that the Lord gives us the ability to go out and get a job.
Okay. All right. So, Althea, you would say you don't have an answer necessarily for this question.
No, because I feel that if you're praying for something, it's okay. I need to pass an exam. Okay? I have a test to take. I can have the book right beside me. I can maybe even gloss over it. If I do not study, I can believe I'm going to fail it. I'm going to pray, though. Here it is. I'm tired, or for whatever reason, I cannot get to the book. But I'm going to pray, Father, please, please help me to pass this exam. But I have not even looked at the text to study. What do you think is going to happen? What's the probability? Am I going to pass it or am I going to fail it, Dr. Walker?
Well, you're asking me.
But I'm praying, though. I'm praying.
Listen.
I'm praying
listen.
To pass it.
If you, exactly. But, and I know that based on the human factor, most people would probably say you're going to fail that exam. But guess what? Guess what? Me personally, if you're asking me that question and the probability, I'm going to look at the probability that being 50-50 chance that you'll pass it, because that has happened to me multiple times throughout my educational career. There have been times I hated to study. I hated to study. And I know so many other people that was the same way. And guess what? It's rare that I ever failed the test. Rare. Never even did. You got people who study all the time.
And what if you don't know the subject matter? What if you don't know the subject matter?
Listen, all I needed to do was make a C or better. That, my mom only required A's and B's or C's. When I got my kids, I required A's and B's. All that mattered for her was don't bring home nothing less than a C. You understand? You know?
Yeah.
In most cases, I mean, I got an F3F and PE one time because I didn't dress out. And I changed it. I kind of changed it to a B2B on the report card. And I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for my sister. You know, the whole school knew I got an F3F because I skipped. And the teacher told me he was going to punish me. You know? And then my sister squealed on me because her friends heard about it. I changed my grade. And I couldn't lie to my mom when she saw my report card. I'm like, that's my report card, Mom. What's wrong? And then she said, son, I'm asking one time, is that your grade? Now I'm like praying to God to take me out then because I couldn't lie to her. I would have gotten away with it had it not been for my sister. And the coach called my mom. You see? But God had mercy because I'm still alive today. Thank God for his mercy and his grace. So, Sister Marva, let me bring you back in. After we're going to ask you to stand by just for a second. Sister Marva.
Okay. Yes, sir.
So are you telling me that it's possible that there is no answer for that question?
No. I believe that the word that we're missing or not looking at is need. The word need. Needs God gave us. We say, great is thy faithfulness. We sing that song all the time. All I have needed, thou hast provided. Which is true.
Right.
Eyes to see, ears to hear, hands to work. And so he's given us feet to walk, skin, an immune system. Is there anything he hasn't given us? And he gave us trees and food and water even before he created us. So the things that we can do for ourselves, like get on your knees and pray and say, Lord, I need a job. I'm going over to such and such a city. I need a job. Can you help me? You know, I believe he will. Or if you're in close contact with God, you would say, you would be able to say, I'm waiting, you know, or I wait for this. For example, when David lost his family, those people came and took away his wives and all the children, wives and children. And after David cried till he couldn't cry anymore, he asked God, he said, should I pursue them? God could have killed the Philistines or whoever they were himself, but he told him, yes, go ahead and pursue them, and you will certainly get everything back. So why didn't God didn't bring them back? He didn't kill those people. David had to go out and do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because God had given him. He himself, David said, the Lord has given me the strength to jump over walls and to, my fingers can bend steel. You know, he is strong. So God has given him that. And he mm-hmm. ought to use that. He's given us everything we need.
He's given us, okay, so if that's the case, see, there's that word again. He has given us everything we need, everything that we need. Last night's show, we said that has God given us herbs for healing? Is that a fact? Is that a fact?
That
so we
is
had
a fact.
Several Bible scriptures that were read, and we pretty much concluded on there that if God said it, it's a fact. But then the question becomes, you know, in last night's programming, you know, we got so many herbs that it's not even regulated, you know, and then we got medical science, you know, so where's the disparity between there, the differentiation between there? And so what do we have? You know, is that a fact? If God said it, it's a fact. So now I ask the same question tonight. If God said it, is that a fact? And we will probably all say, yes, Sir Ben, let's bring you in. And so we say, if God has given us everything and he cares more about us than he does the sparrows, then why can't we just depend on him for all of our needs that he has said he will supply? Okay, perhaps Sir Ben is not there. Let me, Lady C, why not just depend on God for everything?
I'm going to just say this, okay? I'm going straight to the Bible because that's where my answer is going to come from. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find.
Knock and the door will be opened to you. Yes.
Okay? But let's be real. He's given us everything we need. But what do we have to do? And everything I read there made me realize the one word I kept seeing come to my mind was work. You still have to knock. That takes work. You know?
Uh-huh.
You have to ask. You have to move your mouth and ask, so you move your mind. That's work. You're working your mind. You know? So it's all about working. You got to work for what you want. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
You're asking for it. So God will give it to you, but you gotta get it too. You gotta be able to go out and get it. If you want, like I said, if he want a job, he's gotta get off that. You gotta get off the couch. If you want a car, you gotta go looking. You know.
But doesn't that, Lady C, doesn't that contradict with what you just read? Ask, and it should be given unto you.
God has everything we need, but we gotta ask for it.
So the man is praying. He just said that 27-year-old has just been telling his wife constantly, I have been praying for the job. Why I got to go and get it? Okay, I'm exercising my mouth. I'm asking, okay? And I'm
not.
He could
be lying too about the asking. Let's be real, because if he was lying about getting up and going to he found five. He was looking for five jobs, going five different places, and he lied about that. He probably didn't even move his mouth to ask God for anything. He would probably be sitting on the couch with his beer, his popcorn, watching some TV show. You know.
Right. Okay, so Ben, are you there? So Ben,
I'm here.
Okay,
hello.
All right. So Ben, the question becomes, I mean, we got, is there really an answer for this question tonight? You know, like last night we talked about, you know, has God given us herbs for healing? You know, in the scripture, we got scripture in there, and it talked about, but I went on to ask the question, is that a fact? And basically we concluded last night that if God said it's a fact, so now if God has said He will supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. If we bring Lady C in, she's going to say, well, He didn't say such and such. But He says He will supply all our needs. And then he phrases it when He gives the analogy of the sparrows. He say they sow not, nor do they reap. But He says, just look at them, how I take care of them. And then He goes on to tell us, we are more valuable than they are. So then, Sir Ben, let me ask you this question. Why do some of us hasten to become rich, have the nice cars, the BMW, the Mercedes, the Jaguar, the Lexus, the Toyotas, the Hondas? You know, why do we want the three-bedroom house, you know, that's $500,000, and we can't even afford the $50,000 house. But why do we hustle so much to get these things when God says, I will supply all your needs?
So we have to understand what is a need and what is a want. And so
Okay. Those
two terms have to be separated, because, you know, even Satan said, I want to be like God. So we as a people have to make sure we understand what is a need, what do we need, and do we trust God to supply our every need? Because a lot of times our motives and actions dictate something other than what we really believe. So do we really believe that God's going to supply our every needs, or do we believe that we're going to supply our every needs through our works? Because some people say, hey, I work 50 hours overtime, and I make this money and that money, and I'm going to get what I want and whenever I want it. And God is like, you know, I'm the one that gave you the ability to be able to work those 50 hours overtime. I'm the one that opened up the opportunity to be able to you to work those overtime. And everything you have is because I allowed you to have it. And so you have the audacity to say that you did it? I can make one simple little movement, and a thing like coronavirus could show up and shut you down so quickly that you won't even know what happened.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So we get caught up in our own God-like complexes, because that's what we do. We have God-like complexes. And God is going, hey, you know, hello. So we have to be careful what we need and what we want.
Right. And then the other challenge with that becomes it could, and I use the word could carefully, it could border along the lines of egotism. It could border on the lines of narcissistic, because think about it. You said that the devil or Lucifer wanted to be like God. He actually wanted to be equal to God. He wanted to be equal to God.
Yes.
He wanted to be equal to God when he had, my understanding is, he was fourth in line. He was fourth in line. You know, you got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and then the devil. And then when he acted up, Gabriel took his place. Now, if anybody else know anything differently, tell me. That's what this program is tonight is about, discussion. The Lucifer was fourth in line, the most beautiful angel out there. Okay? And then that went to his head, the vanity, the iniquity set in his heart. And that's what, Sir Ben, you're talking about tonight. It's like we got to be careful what we want. Because I call it the I-me syndrome. When you get caught up into the I-me syndrome, you are setting yourself up for egotism, narcissism, and major failure. Because it's not like that. So wasn't Lucifer, Sir Ben, you know, you and I talk sometimes. Was it not that Lucifer was the fourth in line? And then when
he messed up,
Gabriel took his place? Huh.
If you remember, he used the same line
to Eve. Oh, to Eve, exactly.
When he said, oh, you will be like God.
He said, you will
see,
be like God, exactly.
The same thing that
to know good and evil.
He bought the same conversation to Eve. And so we have to know who I always ask the question, who are you listening to? Are you listening
to
the voice of the stranger? Are you listening to the voice of the good shepherd? And based on what voice you're listening to, it's going to tell me what answers you're going to get in your life.
Absolutely. 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 Now, can you imagine, Lucifer, thinking that now because of this same thing that we're talking about tonight, and if you really want to get the depth of this show, you will want to go into the archives and listen to this show in its entirety 20 minutes after we close the broadcast. Because, see, Lucifer had Jesus on the mountain after Jesus had come after 40 days of fasting. 40 days of fasting. So, shoot, if I don't eat in one day, I'm hungry. So you know Jesus was hungry. And he told him on that mountain, on the mount, if you bow down and worship me, now his iniquity was in his heart. He told Jesus, the Son of God, God in the Trinity, told him, if you bow down, all of this will be yours. Remember that, Sir Benny?
I do. I do it well. And I have a response to that.
Right. And then he said, and Jesus had to tell him what was written. But go ahead. Give us your response to that.
This is something that I say, and I say it with a certain passion. You can't counsel, coach, or reason with the devil. You have to cast him out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm laughing, you all, because it's like, we're on such the same page, you all, tonight, that if you know the keys, and Sir Ben, you just mentioned that, and I'm going to let you get back to your thought. The key word here was cast. But go ahead, Sir Benny.
So we know that we have the ability to cast out demons. And, you know, we God designed that as a part of our overall makeup, along with grace and mercy and those things that he deposited inside of us. But sometimes, you know, we have to physically cast out some devils too. You know, we can't just be, you know, aware of some of the vices. There are some people, and sometimes they're, you know, in our own homes and children and et cetera, et cetera, that are just going to be disruptive in your life. And so you got to be able to speak to the situation at hand. You got to be able to tell those devils, you got to get out of here today. Right. And a lot of times we're not talking to the person that we love and we see. We're talking to the enemy that has invaded their minds, their thoughts, and their actions. And so the devil uses whoever he opens himself up to them to be used. And so we got to know, and we got to speak to that demon or that devil and tell him to leave out. Get out in Jesus' name. Get out.
Right. Right. And, you know, every home that I've had, and I can feel a spirit, and it's almost like I can feel an unwanted spirit. And I remember my kids growing up in this one home that I had in South Florida. And let me tell you, it's because I took the word of God to anoint that house, relied on him for his anointing of that house, casting out any prior demons that would have been in there, and not allowing any demons to ever step foot in this house. And do you know there were times when people could not come into that house? They could not, because if their spirit was not right, and it wasn't me stopping them, they themselves could not step foot on the ground because I had already cast out And when God has an anointing in your life or on your person or your property, people, the devil cannot come on. And I remember one of my friends I'm going to bring you in just a second. One of my friends walked in to meet my kids for the first time because I was a single parent. And she said, we worked on our doctorate together, and she came for the first time to meet my kids. She said, oh, my goodness. See, I've never been in a home where I experienced so much love just walking in the door. That's what was in my home. Nothing but an environment of love, total love. And they cast out all kind of things that were not warranted. Go ahead. Let's bring you in. Go ahead. What's your thought?
Let me tell you. You know, I feel you 100% on that. Because when I moved into the place where I live at now, I did that too. I had to go and anoint every room in my place, as well as the hallways, as well as the outside and the neighbors. And I realized, say, if I have an argument with one of my family members, if they come to my door, that spirit, that evil spirit, leaves. It won't even enter into my home. So I agree with you 100%. It is so important to anoint the place you live in, not just inside, mm-hmm. but outside and around it.
Absolutely. And your car, the same thing, your clothing. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Bible tells us that whatever weapons are formed, you know, they will not draw near you. They may be formed, but they will not bring you any harm. And I'm telling you, you know, you can walk. Let me tell you all something. You may not believe this. It's kind of strange. But when you have an anointing on your life, I've seen birds who have these spirits in them that like the devil has gotten in them, and they have wanted to attack me. And I've seen them, you know, want to fly by me. And I'm telling you, it's not even mating season. So it's like I haven't done anything to these birds. But because of the protection and the shield that God has given me, birds can't even bother me. They call it, and I'm not making this up to you all. It's like they call their friends, and they want to launch an attack, but they can't. I have seen people where vicious dogs have come at them, and they call on the name of Jesus. Those dogs had to stop. So, Ben, you have any stories like that? Any of you all?
Several stories.
See,
like that.
That's what I'm telling you. Several stories like that. And we're going to get into some of those, you know, and as Lady C, we're going to close us out tonight in probably about 60 seconds. Lady C will close us out with the thought on do we depend on God for the things he has given us the ability to do for ourselves? And you know what? When we do leave the show tonight, we need to think about that. As we think about the analogy that was previously given, and you know what? And everything that we have, every question that's asked, sometimes there's not an answer. And the response is, it depends. Two words, it depends. Because God can deal with one situation for a person by their measure of faith, and he might deal with another person totally different. But God will recognize faith. He will honor faith. Faith without works is dead. He will honor faith. So if it takes that woman, that wife, to push that husband, to encourage him, to show her displeasure and him not going out, somewhere along the way, Lady C, that happy wife is a happy life, then he will be moved because he loves her, as Sir Benny said. He will be moved to do something. He's compelled. Listen, we're out of time. Lady C, we're going to ask you to just close us out. Do we depend on God for the things he has given us the ability to do for ourselves? Lady C.
I mean, I agree. We do depend on God on the things that, you know, we can do ourselves. But just remember, if you ever get stuck in a hard place and needing to depend on God, just always go to God in prayer. And always think of Psalms 121, 1 through 2. It says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, which comes my help. My help comes from the Lord. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm going to leave you guys at.
All right. On that note, we're clearly out of time. I really thank all of you all for joining us tonight. Those of you all we weren't able to get to, please call in early enough. Press 1 on your dial. We have had a great time tonight. Listen, Join us next Thursday for the Dr. Just Walk Show. That's a show you don't want to miss next Thursday. Or we got a topic coming to you that you might not even believe yourself. Of course, you choose Bypass next Thursday. Join us, thank you, live next Friday for your one-hour inspirational programming. And then followed by Saturday morning next week, International Divine Intervention Day, from 6:30 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. Okay, until next Thursday or until next Friday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.